Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. This is Renee at Renee's Heart to Heart. I hope you can tell that I'm a little bit better tonight. My voice is a little bit better. I'm feeling a lot better. I want to thank everybody for all their well wishes again, and I'm sorry that there's so many people out there that are struggling with the flu and bronchitis and pneumonia. I've been reading all kinds of things, and when I called the school about one of the kids, she told me so many kids are homesick. So I hope everybody gets through this yucky flu season and bounces right back and is fine. I did some research this afternoon again, and I figure it doesn't hurt me to keep understanding what other people are doing and what ideas people have come up with to help the situation of course, the bullying and the overall unkindness. I realized something yesterday after the new Pope was named, and Facebook was aflood with jokes about the Pope, and oh my God, does this mean we're going to have Cinco de Mayo now instead of Easter, and oh my God, are we going to do this, you know? And I realized that you have to have a sense of humor, that everybody thinks that's funny. And that's one of the reasons a lot of people do the things that they do, is because they think that they're amusing. And they're not giving a lot of consideration to the fact that they're hurting people's feelings or making somebody feel bad about something that they say about maybe something that doesn't have anything to do with them, like the Pope, for instance. Having been raised a Catholic, I do not attend church every Sunday. I do believe in God. I have my own feelings about this subject, which I discuss if somebody wants to. If not, that's fine too. I think we should all be allowed to do whatever we want to do in that regard. But it does, I have to say to you that I wonder how it makes the little people in our lives feel when they see no respect, and yet that's what we preach. So I think there is a fine line between laughing with somebody and laughing at somebody. And maybe that would curb some of the problems that we are going through at this point in time in regard to how we treat each other. The only time something's funny is when it's really very far away from the truth. That's my opinion. It's not funny. It's funny if you see somebody who's, 3 foot 2 and you ask him what the weather is like up there. That's amusing. That's funny. It's not so funny and probably tiresome to the guy that's 6 foot 10. He's probably heard it a million times and he's sick of it and blah, blah, blah. But you get my drift. This is about a little bit of respect. Humor is great. Nobody likes to laugh more than I do. But making fun of somebody else or disrespecting somebody else, I don't think is the right way to do it. So, on that note, when I researched today, I read a whole lot of stories. I read about 30 stories from teenagers from all over the world. I was kind of, I'm not going to say shocked, but I was, it did take me by surprise to find out that a lot of them came from the UK. And mostly from young girls, but there were probably 5 boys out of 30 stories. And some of the girls that talked included brothers or boyfriends in the being bullied part. What I did find out is a lot of things that I already knew. You know, you get picked on or you get bullied because of how you look, how you act, what you weigh, what you don't weigh, your cultural differences, your sexual preferences, all of those kind of things. Anything that makes you stand out a little bit, unless it's that you're drop-dead gorgeous, you get bullied about it. And I'm not so sure that the girls and the guys that are drop-dead gorgeous don't get some bullying as well. But on that, I read into a lot of these stories and I found out some things that I guess I knew, but we haven't touched on them and we haven't talked about them. Now, obviously, in the beginning of being bullied when you're a kid, there's despondency, there's depression, there's I don't want to go to school today, please don't make me go to school today. There's tears often when it's a little girl, even when it's a little boy, but when they get older, the girls shed more tears about things like this. And, of course, there's depression, and then there's difference in food intake, and everything about them starts to like slide downhill because they get to a point where they think they have no recourse, so they kind of start giving up, and they get self-destructive. And I see boys do a lot of foolish things. Of course, there's always drugs. There's always alcohol. There's always the obvious things that people turn to that they don't need to be bullied for. Don't misunderstand me. But a lot of times that's one of the places that they turn to. But one of the things that came to light to me today in way too many of the stories that I read was how girls and boys start cutting themselves. And even though I was aware of that, I still sat here by myself in my office looking at these stories on the computer and looking at the faces of these young, young kids. And it broke my heart. And one girl said she kept doing it. She even carved the word fat across her torso. And she wasn't fat, but that's how she saw herself. And she said until the day she looked in the mirror, getting out of the tub, and saw all these red, inflamed stripes all over her body and the word fat etched in her torso, she didn't even realize it had gotten as bad as where it was. She had been cutting herself steadily for 2 years. She mentions in it that her mom would see the cuts on her arms and ask her what happened, and she told her mom that her girlfriend had a cat, and the cat was scratching her. And, of course, here's a mom, and I can relate to this, and probably a lot of you out there can. It's very rare that we get fooled, but it's not very rare that we don't know what to do. So chances are mom knew, but she didn't know what to do. So she thought if she let the daughter know that she noticed, then maybe that would make a difference. Well, by that time, that didn't work. So the young girl thought mom believed her. And she said, my mom just trusted me, which also broke my heart when she said that. But I read, like I said, 30 stories, and there were at least 16 girls who, after being bullied by other girls, in one case, it was a boy that was bullying a girl from like third grade all the way up into seventh grade, and they all started cutting themselves. So that's a major issue because, first of all, I don't even want to think about all the things that can happen to you if you're cutting yourself with a razor. I mean, you can get blood poisoning. You can get just any number of blood diseases. You can hurt yourself so badly. And then, you know, what do you do later about what you've done to yourself? It won't be easy to ever forgive yourself when you're looking at those all the time. Please, if any of you out there are doing anything like that, please get help right away today. If you have nobody else to talk to, call into the show. You don't have to tell me who you are. You just have to tell me you need to talk to me or you need help. I'll find out where you are. We'll talk privately and we'll get you some help. Please, please, please That, for me, was just too much for words. Now, as I read on, obviously, the end of the story, in most of the stories that I read today, was pretty good. A lot of kids, after 2 to 3 years of being continually bullied and doing whatever they did to get through it, either the bullies moved away or grew up or something happened, but things finally calmed for them. But in some of the scenarios, these children took their own lives. And this, of course, is what we're trying to stop. So when I moved on, I thought I have to find something that's going to be a lot more positive than these stories. Probably wasn't a good idea for me to read all those stories after being so miserably sick all week. It took kind of a toll on me hearing all these young kids and seeing the pictures of their faces and everything. So I moved on and did a little bit more research, and I caught Jennifer Livingston's name. Now, for those of you who don't remember who Jennifer Livingston is, she is a news anchor on a television studio who got an email from a listener or a watcher, a television watcher, who said, who's a prominent lawyer, who told her that she'd been on TV for so long, and he found it very sad that she didn't do something about her personal appearance since she was in, you know, in view of all the young people, and her obesity was not a good leader role model for her to put out there. And he said some other really unkind things to her. So instead of her just reading that and tucking it away inside of her own soul and inside of her garbage can, then she went on her own show and she addressed this man. And she addressed him, I watched that when this happened. And she addressed him with such professionalism and such strength that she makes you proud that you're a woman when you hear somebody like that speak. Because she said to him, you know what, you say yourself, you haven't watched this in years. You just came back, and so you're not a regular. You're not a fan of the station. You're not certainly a friend of mine. You don't know anything about me. I'm a lot more than what you see on the outside. Her comeback was not only beautiful, but honest and true. And it put a real positive spin on all the other things that all these very young girls had said. And, of course, we all know that when you're older, we would hope and believe that you would be in a better place to handle somebody doing something like that to you. But it's not always true. It's not always true. You can get hurt no matter how old you are. So, but she came back and called him on the carpet and asked for him, you know, to make a response. And his response, of course, was just another sneaky little email, because he wouldn't appear in person. He wouldn't talk to anyone on the phone. He wouldn't do anything like that, which, of course, speaks volumes about what kind of person this was. But it did give a wonderful upswing to all the other bad stuff that I read today. And so, of course, the other things that we're seeing today, there are many, many, many websites about bullying. And the more I've researched, the more I've found that there's chapters, different organizations for different reasons. Most of the reasons were because of somebody in their family being hurt or losing them due to bullying. But they've started places that will protect all of us, whether we're kids or grown-ups or whoever we are. So there's a lot of positive stuff going on out there. But again, if you don't talk about it, it doesn't go away. If you don't talk about it, it just gets bigger and festers like a big, deep, dark secret. So please, you must talk about it. And then if you want to go to some of these places, research online. I don't know any teenager today that doesn't have a computer on their telephone. Look up some of the places if there's nobody else in your life that you can talk to. My 6-year-old grandson that I talk about quite a bit came home today and told me that he reported that a girl on the bus had hit him in the eye. And I said, why did she do that? And he said, I guess I wasn't listening to her. And I said, okay. And I said, were you being mean to her? And he goes, no, I didn't even hear her. I guess she was yelling my name. The bus is noisy. And when I didn't turn around and answer, she hit me in the eye. And I said, what did you do? And he said, I told the bus driver. And I said, and did the bus driver say something to the little girl? And he said, no, she just walked away. So there's one of the big cruxes. And this is one of the things that we have to do something about. And I'm not going to blame any bus drivers, and I'm not going to blame anybody in particular. I'm just saying the grown-ups are the ones that are supposed to step up to the plate. So if your kids are telling people, if your kids are speaking to people other than yourselves, if you are speaking to people and you're still not getting any kind of help, you need to go higher. Higher and higher and higher until somebody pays attention. So that's my sermon for tonight. I'm going to open the lines and bring in Shelley and see what else we can discuss about all of this tonight. Hi, Shel. How are you feeling?
A little bit better. Stayed home from work again, but I should be back tomorrow.
Yeah, me too. I'm considerably better today.
Yeah, boy, this thing really hit me hard. I was out of commission for 2 whole days.
It's a mean flu. Our friend Gary that calls us all the time is sick as a dog, so we want to send our love out to him and tell him lots of fluids, lots of rest, fighting with the chickens.
That's right. I have to be careful not to laugh too much. It makes my side hurt.
I know. That my sides hurt me in the beginning of the week. So, like I said, I did this research today, Shel, and it was part of it got me more revved, about what we're doing, but part of it also saddened me to the point of I want to walk around and say to everybody, "What, how can you see anything like this going on and not do anything about it?"
The cutting disorder is actually when you have kids. I'm not an expert on it, but I've seen a couple of shows about it, and from a non-professional standpoint, because like I said, I'm not an expert. But it has something to do with their emotions getting numbed because of what you were talking about. When they get to the point where they start giving up, what happens is they lose, they become numb towards life because
they lose their sensory. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And
some of the little girls talked about that. They understood that.
Right. So they actually start cutting themselves to see if they can make them feel something because they go so far into non-feeling that they feel like a non-human.
And that's right.
Mm-hmm. They try to cut themselves to make themselves feel something because they've become so numb from the bullying that they don't feel happiness either. They numb themselves to the pain, but they numb themselves so much that they don't feel anything at all. And it's almost like a desperate act to feel something, even if it's bad.
The one young girl who was older when she wrote her story, that's what she said. She said, somebody told me that if you cut yourself really bad, that it makes you feel, makes you feel things again. The pain makes you feel, like alive again. And she says, and that's what convinces you that you need to do it because you feel like you're numb and nothing bothers you anymore. So you feel like you're like zombified. And I thought, some of them too, one young girl wrote a poem and all it was, I came to school with the same clothes on that I had on yesterday. Did you ask me why? No, you made fun of me. I came to school with bruises all over me and sometimes dirty hair. You made fun of me. Did you ask me why? No. A whole poem about all those kind of things because she was being abused at home, you know, and nobody, they just made fun of her instead of saying, oh, my God, what's going on with you, including the adults, of course, you know, including the adults.
Wow.
I hate it when I make or when any of us make it sound like the kids are the beast because that's not always the truth.
Right.
You know, sometimes there's a lot of grown-ups involved in the wrongness of what's going on. That's why I was so wonderfully pleased when I found Jennifer's story because I read it again because I was very encouraged when I saw her on TV. Did you see that, Shelley, when she did she was a local TV anchor in I don't even remember where. I read it today and I don't remember and I didn't put it in my notes, but she was even on the Today Show, and they interviewed her, and she said, you know, she says, okay, you can say I'm fat. You can even say I'm obese by some doctor's scales, but I am who I am, and I don't know why this is about who I am inside, you know, and she addressed this man head on. And proof positive was the fact that he wouldn't address her head on.
Right.
And almost always, that's the true colors of a bully. They're more afraid than you are.
Well, they're cowardly. Bullies.
Right.
That's why bullies need counseling also, because anybody that bullies is truly a coward. And what it is they're going to the extreme to try to prove to everybody, including themselves, that they're not a coward. But when it's one-on-one, they don't bully. They only bully when they have an audience cheering them on. They only bully when they think they have support for it, you know. And
that's right.
You know,
that's right.
So this guy, you know, in the cloak and dagger of an email could say whatever he wants to say, but now face me head on? No, he didn't have the nerve for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's easy to put anything in writing, but now you got to back up your words and actually face me, and he didn't have the courage to do it.
Exactly. Well, and I think that shows kids, you know, where the strength lies.
Exactly.
You know, whether it lies in the person that's so eager to critique somebody else. Again, you know, this goes back to what I said, I think, on our second show. You know, when you find me somebody perfect, please introduce them to me because I don't know anybody that's perfect. And really, if you're going to critique people to that degree, you should be pretty close to perfect, you know. But it's like I said tonight, too, about making fun. A lot of people think what they're saying is amusing and entertaining and funny. And that's not always true. And I guess humor... Shelley, who likes to laugh more than me? Anybody that you can think of?
No.
I love good humor, and I love being able to laugh a lot. But I don't think ridiculing or making fun of somebody is all that funny. I mean, mind you, I always thought it was amusing the way Phyllis Diller would make fun of Fang. Do you remember that? Are you old enough to remember Phyllis Diller and Fang?
Oh, sure.
Well, he was like fictitious. Nobody ever saw him. So nobody's feelings were hurt. Nobody was being ridiculed, and nobody passed judgment or anything the next time he was on television. So it was just amusingly funny. Or Gracie and what's his name? George. They'd look at each other, and he'd kind of pick on her, and she'd kind of pick on him, but it was lovingly funny.
Right.
It wasn't ridiculing or embarrassing. And
since the shock jocks came out, like Howard Stern and people like that, and I like Howard Stern in other venues, but I never did like him on his show because I thought his humor was it went beyond irreverent. It went to the point of being insensitive, mean, and cruel. And it always upset me that so many people liked that show so much because I thought humor was overboard. And it's one thing for an adult to listen to that type of insensitivity. It's another thing for a child that's still developing how they feel about other people and how they're going to interact with other people. You know, mm-hmm. if you're an adult listening to that type of humor, you're kind of already done, and you can say, you can actually cringe and laugh and say, well, that's funny, but it's like really kind of over the edge a little bit. But a kid's going to hear that and think they're supposed to think it's funny. They're not going to have that filter or that reaction that maybe that's going a little too far. They're
that's
just going to think it's funny, and it's going to make them insensitive if they weren't going to.
That's right.
This is what I used to tell people. You know, it's one thing if you like listening to Howard Stern, but you shouldn't be listening to Howard Stern in a car with your 8-year-old son sitting on a seat next to you.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're going to sit there and counter all the nasty things he says,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not putting Howard Stern down as an entertainer entirely, because I've seen him in other venues where he actually was very funny.
Yes,
you know?
And in the right place, exactly, and in the right place, and in the right mindset, and the right circumstances. Well, I mean, you know, anything like that, for that matter. But I'm talking about generalizing. Making fun of other people. Like I said, like the Pope yesterday, the Facebook pages were just crazy with Pope jokes.
Wow.
And some of them were funny, and some of them were just out and out disrespectful and rude. You're talking about a man that runs the Catholic religion. Have a little respect.
Right.
What do you do? What are your responsibilities in this life that you've chosen for yourself that you can be ridiculing somebody like that? Again, I realize humor. I love humor. But I also realize that Facebook pages are reachable by anybody who wants to look at them.
That's right.
You know, anybody. So I think, but it made me a little bit more forgiving of some of the people, because when I started examining things and reading some of the other stories I read today, I realized a lot of times that's what it is. Somebody thinks it's funny. Somebody thinks it's funny to say something demeaning to somebody else if everybody else laughs.
Right.
You know.
Well, like you said, it's only humor when you're laughing with somebody, not when you're
mm-hmm.
laughing at somebody. If you're making
exactly.
a joke at the expense of another human being, then it really isn't humor.
Right.
You know, that's like the simple test if it's a good joke or not, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, like people somewhere along the line, I mean, you can even see it in some of the comedy shows that are out today. Some of them, I think there's some wonderful comedies out there, and I think there are some that are just very distasteful. I won't watch them because I find the humor on them offensive.
Well,
you
remember years ago, we all went to one that was trying to raise money for where we were working, and we were all appalled.
Oh, yeah.
We all thought it was, you know, just, you know, well, in lieu of a better word, gross.
Yeah.
And it was. And not that, I mean, you know, once you're over the age of 40 and you understand sex and you understand this and you understand that, I mean, some things can't shock you anymore. But it doesn't mean, you know, you want somebody saying them in your face. And a lot of times it's embarrassing to be with other people when you hear stuff.
Right.
That's one of the funny things about grandchildren. You know, when a movie comes on and there's going to be a sex scene or something in a movie, all of my teenage grandchildren get up and leave the room.
I love that. That's great.
I mean, you know, they're like, nope, it's just too uncomfortable. I said, have you seen this before? Yes. You just don't want to see it again with grandma. Nope, don't want to see it again. I'm like, okay, I can understand that. That's fine with me.
Oh, God. Well, you and I both sound great, geez.
I know.
Laughing.
I know. Every time you get laughing, it makes it worse.
Oh, God.
I think,
but, you know, you said something a few minutes ago about the AJ story. You were talking about AJ on the bus telling the bus driver that the little girl punched him in the eye and that the bus driver didn't do anything. And it comes down to what we were talking about the other day, is that whether it be, because you're right, it's not just the kids. The kids are supposed to be being led by adults, and there are so many adults today in positions of authority, like a school bus driver, like a teacher, like a, you know, like a security guard at the mall, okay, and they're in positions where they're supposed to be there to keep the safety, be there to assist people, or to be in charge, or to be authority figures, you know, one of those, and they don't take the responsibility. They take the job, but they don't take the responsibility that goes along with it. And if you're not, again, it's a cliche, but it's true, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. So if you're in a job like that and you're not doing what you're supposed to do, you're adding to the problem. Now, that little girl, you didn't have to yell and scream at her, but she could have said, that's unacceptable. If you want to get AJ's attention, you go next to him and tap him on the shoulder. You don't punch him in the head. Say something to the little girl. Don't just make it out like she didn't do anything at all, you know.
Mm-hmm. Or like you don't care. That's what I hate. Like you don't care.
You know.
Because the minute a kid thinks that people don't care, that's when the ride downhill starts.
Right.
You know, they forgive us everything, anything, all things. Believe me. I've seen parents do things that I would just like to just wring their necks for. And their children always forgive them. Always forgive them. It's an amazing thing. I have plenty of adult friends who have... I have one... Actually, two friends that I knew years ago, their parents had a fight, left them both to fend for themselves while they went out and found new significant others and all this kind of stuff. And years went by. They succeeded. They were teenagers. They got by all right and did what they were supposed to do. Years later, everybody shows back up into the picture. And it's like, you know, here we are. Isn't it nice? Now we can all be a family again and everything. And they were struggling with it and felt ashamed of themselves for struggling with it. And I was pretty young then, not quite as outspoken as I am now. And I looked at both of them and I said, I don't understand why you think you're supposed to be this forgiving. I realize you love your parents. I commend you for that. That doesn't mean you have to forgive them for what they did to you. You can still love them, but it doesn't mean you have to forgive them. And they were struggling with it, you know. And I've met more than those two through the years. And I think that in a lot of cases, some really awful things have been done to people. And as they become adults and things change and maybe got to go home and take care of mom and dad, and mom and dad have not been the people that they should have been, and in some cases have really been awful. And these kids still have this feeling of responsibility. So, you know, and which is okay. I feel like that's commendable to be able to turn around and realize that that's who you are, that you shouldn't be who, you know, you shouldn't be somebody else because of what they did. But on the same token, it's hurtful for you to have to be forgiving when forgiveness was never even asked for.
Right. Exactly. Right. There was no remorse on their side. There was
Right. And that's what makes it really hard. And of course, that's what I'm saying when you have young people and, you know, the millionth time that they say to somebody, Joey trips me every time I get up to walk to the front of the classroom and everybody laughs and everybody thinks it's funny. And even the teacher laughs and says, you know, why don't you go the other way? You know he's going to trip you. I mean, what do you want from that kid? What do you want that kid to do now? Are you going to be shocked when he comes in one day and has a fork in his pocket or something and stabs the kid in the leg for tripping him? Who knows what they're going to do? I mean, my goodness. But why isn't somebody making something out of that? Don't trip him again, or you're not going to be allowed to sit up there. You're going to have to sit up here beside me. How easy is that?
Right.
But I see a lot of little things because it seems like not a big deal. But and a lot of times they aren't big deals, but we still have to pay attention to all the little deals because little deals make big deals.
Right. And the whole thing is for that kid, that little deal is their whole world at that time because that's where their worlds are. You know,
that's right.
They're not dealing with paying the mortgage. You know, they're 6 years old or 13 years old or whatever their age is. You know, their problems are not going to be what our problems are. But their problems are their whole world at whatever age they're at. And that's why parents have to stop, well, not a parent, any adult dealing with a child telling them something has to put it in relationship to the age of the person they're talking to. And how, not how big is it to the adult, how big is it to that kid?
Mm-hmm.
Because it could be overwhelming to that kid, and it could be insignificant to the adult. They have to deal with how big it is to the kid, and I think that's what a lot of adults lose sight of.
Well, we've said that 100 times, and of course that's the absolute truth. You know, you can't make light of something that has a child so upset. Even if you think it's trivial, you have to weigh, maybe you need to weigh what you weigh against what they weigh and then subtract the difference or something. I don't know. But something, there has to be some kind of an understanding of what means everything to them and is like, you know, being bothered by a fly for you is just not the same. But I do believe that there are good things happening that I read about today, which I was pleased to see. But I also see a lot of sites and everything that are just null and void. They're still there, but there's nothing going on them. And I saw a lot of that. When I'd find different sites to look up, I'd look and there would be, I don't know, maybe a picture of somebody in one posting.
Uh-huh.
So in a lot of cases, you know, people can't keep it up because it is a job. It is the job to want to keep spreading information like this and doing something about it. So I guess you and I are here for the duration, Shell. So get your voice back.
Yeah, I guess. One of the things I was going to come across, I wonder if there'd be a way to, you reach out to some of these people that still have active sites and see if we could get like a central link so that people would know that they're look at and, you know, and have them be able to, you know, kind of, you know, like get in touch with each other. Because a lot
that's what 211 is all about. And remember when I talked about 211 the very first week?
Yes.
Dial in 211 will give you all those places. And they have manned phones 24/7. If you don't get a person, it's just because the phones are on overload, but you will get a phone call back. I think 211 is one of the most amazing things that they've done in years. 211 and the Amber Alert impressed me greatly. I mentioned the Amber Alert. I was hoping I could get Alexa, who is one of the ladies with the Amber Alert, to talk on the show, and I haven't approached them yet because I wanted to, you know, get some more experience behind me before I brought people like that that have been doing things like this for a long time on the show and let them share. But these ladies are the ones that put in the phone system and everything so that when somebody calls in and says, I can't find my four-year-old, he didn't get off the bus, he goes to Head Start and he didn't get off the bus and I was there waiting and nobody could find him. And so they call right away, they give a description, and their phone system calls every landline. And now it's even calling cell phone numbers. And, of course, we all know about the Amber Alerts and everything that go up on the Turnpike and all those places, and show you that somebody is missing in a certain radius. so that everybody can keep an eye out, especially if it's a neighborhood. Like if a little boy or a little girl is missing walking home from school, say they're 7, and they're used to walking home 2 blocks from school in a neighborhood school, and they don't come home, mom's standing out front looking down the street, can't find them, so she calls the police, and the police put the call into the Amber Alert, and these ladies put this call out so that you get a call at your house that says you live in the neighborhood where little Joey Smith didn't come home from school. He's got on black shorts and a red shirt, and da-da-da-da-da-da, and he would have been walking down this street. And they find kids left and right like this. And this is worldwide now. So, and they, of course, have also got the Silver Alert, which I'm really hoping I do to somebody just disappear one day when I don't know what I'm doing or where I'm going.
Yeah, so I'll recognize the license plate number when I drive on there. Oh, I know her.
There's this crazy old lady running around in a blue PT Cruiser convertible, playing Twist and Shout at the top of its volume, and I don't think she knows where she's going.
Yeah. She's popped down. She's singing at the top of her lungs, and then you know it's her.
I certainly will be recognizable, that's for sure. So, but I mean, those things are wonderful things, and those things are definitely here to stay, and they are, you know, top of the line people, as is Neighbors for Neighbors. Neighbors for Neighbors is another amazing organization that has helped so, so many people. They were the first people to come to the hospital to see Mike and Val and Mikey. And I've stayed very close to Lynn Cameron, who is one of the directors at Neighbors for Neighbors. And she's just, I mean, she's all over. You know, she's here and she's there and she's everywhere. And they have people that understand that we just need more people who care. And that's what they're doing. And they're putting it out there. And they've raised money for people. They've given people cars. They've made sure people are fed. The organizations that feed the homeless, those are amazing here in Florida. We have amazing organizations that will feed people, not just holiday dinners either, on a regular basis. So there's a lot of wonderful things that we do. But again, most of those things are helping. I mean, sometimes you're helping a kid on an Amber Alert, you know, you're finding the kid. But again, it's stuff that really is helping the general public, most of the adults, you know, the moms and the daddies and the teachers and the people that are struggling to make ends meet and everything. Those are all adults, which needs to be done as well. But again, I still feel so strongly in the fact that if we don't start listening to the kids and paying attention to what they're telling us, then more and more sorrow will hit everybody. More and more sorrow every day, because you have to pay attention to what a kid says to you.
Right. I mean, this is the generation that's, you know, eventually going to be running things, and we have to help them grow up as healthy and happy as possible, and as respectful as possible. I mean, you know, we want them to be healthy and happy, and we want them to be respectful of other people to make sure that the people that are impacted by them in any way are healthy and happy because of their respect for them. You know, but so there's really a balance there that you have to go for. But the kids now that are suffering, that's the future generation. Are we raising a generation of people that are going to be so damaged that you're not going to have anybody in the adult group that can get along with each other or function on a normal basis? That's kind of a frightening thought.
Well, or even worse, not realize that that's what they're supposed to do. Not even understand the fact that it's supposed to be copacetic out there. It's not supposed to be dog-eat-dog. It's supposed to be a world of compatibility and respect of one another. That's what really scares me as well.
And that's where some of the adults are coming from now, because that's how they grew up. So when you get that bus driver that doesn't do anything, or when you get that security guard at the mall who just stands there with his arms closed when a woman's frantically telling him she can't find her little girl, and he doesn't even walk point A to do anything to help her, okay? Those are the people that at some point when they were younger were damaged and nobody saw it, and they became an adult that's damaged and doesn't know how to be an adult because they never learned. You know, if they don't grow out of immaturity, you have to teach a child, you know?
And it's, well, and there's the ever famous, what did you want me to do? What was I supposed to do?
Oh, yeah.
You know, what did you expect me to do? I'm not a magician, or I couldn't, what was I supposed to do? Or you see somebody being hurt and nobody intervening. Well, I don't know, you know, I might have got hurt. Oh, okay. All right. Remind me not to take you to any, you know, any fight clubs with me, man. I mean, you know, come on. You're talking about two kids fighting. I mean, I get it. I do get it. I'm not foolish. I get the fact that there's a lot of fear involved. When you see 10 or 12 teenagers out there, there's fear. I get it. But you also have a cell phone in your hand. You can't call the cops. You also got a cell phone in your hand. You can't call anybody. You can't do something. I didn't mean you had to go over and, you know, go Bruce Lee on everybody, for Lord's sakes. I just mean do something. You see that a little girl or a little boy is hands-on everybody all the time. You're a bus driver, you're a school teacher, you're a daycare mother, you're the Sunday school teacher, you're whoever you are. You see another child that finds it necessary to grab another kid all the time. Whenever they don't have what they want, these are little people, three-year-olds, two-year-olds, if they think nothing about reaching out and grabbing somebody's hair and pulling them over backwards, and they do that because that's instinctual, if somebody's not stopping them, mark my words, when that little girl or that little boy is 10 or 12, that's the way they're going to get people's attention then too.
That's right.
Unless somebody says something now. And that's what we're asking for. That right there is what we're asking for. That and more positive leadership, more like this woman, like Jennifer, standing up there being ridiculed like that and not, you know, walking away in tears or deciding that she had to go on a diet right away or do anything. Just walk up there and say, this is who I am, you know.
Yeah,
and again,
The Jennifer Livingston story, Livingston, right? Jennifer Livingston?
Yeah, Livingston, uh-huh. Yeah, just look it up online. And they have her video right there, and it's wonderful.
So this is actually a video?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out.
She addresses the whole thing. I mean, it's wonderful, and she does it smoothly, calmly, professionally. She's really wonderful.
Yeah, I gotta check that out because I recognized her name, but I didn't remember why. So I might have heard about it, but I'm pretty sure that I never watched it because it doesn't sound that familiar. Her name sounded familiar, but not the the subject matter.
Right. Well, she was. I always watch the Today Show, and first of all, somebody sent it to me on Facebook so I could see it. So I had already seen the video, and then I watched her on the Today Show, and I was even more proud of her when I watched her on the Today Show, because even that she did with a real grace and an air of professionalism, and you know, she didn't like get beaten down, and that's another thing, you know, that is something that we have to teach kids too. You don't have to be a bully to not be taken advantage of or to be abused. You can still be a good person, but doesn't mean that you have to take all the crap that's dished out to you.
Right.
And there's well, you talked about one night about having different kinds of what's the word I want? Like the Tai Chi and the Qigong and the
right.
and the karate and stuff like that, which I think is smart as well. I think anything like that that keeps a kid physically fit gives them a reason to feel proud of themselves and build their self-esteem is always good for them. But again, when you say to somebody, like the story I told about the young girl whose mother kept telling her to turn her cheek every time this one girl was so mean to her and hurt her so bad.
Wow.
Remember that story that I told the other night? And then she... and she finally hurt the other girl.
Yep.
And her mother was so upset with her, and they went to court. And but the mother said, you know, she did what I asked her not to do, but this is why. And spread out all these notes and all these pictures of all the stuff that had happened to this girl for her entire childhood by this one girl. And of course, they put her in therapy because she needed to be in therapy, but she never did any kind of jail time or anything. But the judge
right.
looked at her and said, you realize now that this wasn't the thing to do? And she said, I do. She said, but I no longer knew what else to do. And
right.
I guess sometimes that's the truth. I hate to think of it like that, but I guess sometimes that is the truth. That's like, remember the movie?
Then...
Go ahead, honey. Remember the movie Sleeping with the Enemy? I lost Shelley. Do you all remember the movie Sleeping with the Enemy, where the woman is marries this man? He's such a sweet talker, and he's wonderful, and he's this, and he's that, and they get married, and he ends up being a total, total abuser. And she goes out, and she figures out a way to beat him at his own game. And he finds her again, but when he finds her, she's ready for him. And they have a knockdown drag out, and she protects herself. I believe the name of it was Sleeping with the Enemy. Am I right, Shelley? Sleeping with the Enemy, when she marries the guy that's so abusive, and she runs away, and he ends up finding her, but the whole time she's gone, she works out, and she learns all these
moves. That was Sleeping with the Enemy was with Julia Roberts, and it was also a survival story. But the one
mm-hmm.
you're talking about is with Jennifer Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, God, I can't remember the name of it. It's not Sleeping with the Enemy. Sleeping with the Enemy was the movie with Julia Roberts, and that was excellent
right.
also.
Yeah,
but
same
so,
idea, though.
Yeah,
they learned,
yeah. It's, mm-hmm. Enough is Enough or something. I
enough
think
is Enough.
Movie.
That's You're right. Yeah. That's what it was.
And it was
but,
a fantastic movie.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, there will be an evening. I'm trying to find different people to talk, and when I find I have a whole bunch of things that I want to touch base on, but I'd like people who have really experienced them firsthand. And one of those things is being bullied by your spouse, and not necessarily a man bullying a woman. I think we're going to find both, and we can talk about it and maybe lighten some loads for some people who are listening, because I think – things like that happen everywhere and all over and to everyone. So we will be covering that that part of unkindness and bullying as well, spousal and children with their parents, which of course is another thing, and the fact that there's many kids, like I mentioned earlier, who always forgive, and they don't very often forget, but they always forgive because they think that's what they're supposed to do, because a mom is a mom and a dad is a dad. And I think that's commendable, but I don't know that I could do it. My parents were not perfect, but they were never abusive in any way, shape, or form, and I never doubted the fact that they loved all of us very much. They could often be their own worst enemies, but they still were who they were, and like I said, never abusive or anything. But I know kids that grew up in households where, you know, it was nothing to have an arm broken and things like that, and everybody just tolerated, you know. That's out in the country, and stuff just happened, and people got away with it. And I think those days are changing because there's more people watching. But the worst thing that we're trying to deal with right now is just the unkindness that's directed towards all of us. And of course, bullying is one of the top pinpoints that we deal with on a daily basis, the bullying of other people, whether you're a grown-up or a child. But the ones that deserve our help the most, of course, are the children. So that's why we really hone in on that. It's not my goal to ignore the adults that are bullied either, because I find that to be deplorable as well. I don't think anybody should be bullied for any reason, or anybody should be treated badly for any reason. If you don't like somebody, stay away from them. That's pretty easy. If you married them, divorce them. If you're in a scenario that you can't get out of, then ask for help. Otherwise, leave. But there's no reason to hurt each other, to inflict pain and harm to another human being, as I have said before, and I will say until the day that they put beautiful lipstick on me and sew my mouth shut, I will tell you that it's not your right to inflict harm on anybody else. So that has to stop. And very sadly, that happens everywhere, all the time, every minute of every day. So, and of course, inflicting harm on the defenseless is the epitome. So there's a lot of things that we will be able to talk about, and I'd like to open the door again to any of the listeners that are out there. You don't ever have to tell me who you are. You don't have to give your name. You don't have to say where you're from, nothing. If there's something you'd like to share with us that you know will make a difference in someone else's life just by bringing it out in the open, then by all means, call us and do that, because that's what we're here for. This is about talking, letting go, getting rid of the things that don't serve us anymore. And that could mean anything from, you know, an old pair of shoes to a best friend. So, you know, sometimes you have to do what you have to do. So tomorrow night, I think we're going to talk about this whole week. So I want to give you that heads up, Shell. I hope you feel better. But
I will.
This week we have done, of course, Monday we didn't have a show because yours truly was cranky and ornery and didn't have a voice anyway, which pleased a lot of other people, I'm sure. we talked about Bailey, the young girl in Lake City who was organizing a gay-straight alliance in her school. And I have not been told yet that they have canceled the after-school activities. So I will try to research that and see if there's been any change in that. We also talked about people passing judgment on what we look like or what our clothing, et cetera, our demeanors and everything were. We also talked about manipulation of the system having to do with the court case for my grandson. And then, of course, tonight, all the stories that I read today about the girls cutting themselves and the boys' anger. And, of course, often in scenarios, the end is that one of our children takes their own life. And I also brought up Jennifer Livingston. I'd like Shelley and anybody else who would like to see it, look at her video. She'll make you proud that she faces up and says what she needs to say and does it with dignity and grace and lots of professionalism. So there we have it. So we'll talk about all that tomorrow. If anybody wants to join in the conversation, we would love to hear from you. And Shelley and I are both going to go suck on lemon drops and and feel even better tomorrow. So for tonight, from my heart to yours, good night, and I love you all. Good night, Shel.
Good night, Reedy. Have a good night, hon.